Professor Ross Baker is one of the most brilliant men that I know. He's professor at Rutgers University. He's been there for quite a while, and he is known to all as an expert in Congress, where he has served. You did it with Harry Reid, as my long memory goes back. Is that right? Is that where you
did
your work,
Alan,
in the Senate?
That's what I do. Whenever I get an academic leave, a sabbatical leave, I go down to Washington, hang out with politicians. It's a refreshing break from hanging out with academics. These are people who, whether you like them or not, sort of have to deal with real life problems on a regular basis.
I get it.
And are accountable to voters.
But Harry Reid, is he missed? Will he be missed?
I miss him.
Yeah, that's great.
Harry Reid was an extremely shrewd man who came up to the leadership of the Democratic Party in a very different way than the current Democratic leader, Senator Schumer. It's an interesting story. Harry Reid served as deputy whip, that is, that deputy floor leader for the Democrats under a Kentucky senator named Wendell Ford. Ford was not interested, really, in parliamentary give and take. So Harry Reid basically took over the job of guiding the Democratic strategy on the floor of the United States Senate, learned the procedures, learned the rules inside out, and as a consequence became leader with an encyclopedic knowledge of Senate procedure, which, given the fact that many of the battles that take place in the Senate are procedural battles, gave him an enormous advantage. Senator Schumer came to the job after Senator Reid stepped down this past year, from a very successful stint as head of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. So he was a big money raiser for the Democrats, and that's not a small thing. I mean, what that meant was that he would be able to supply Democratic candidates, either challengers or incumbents, with copious amounts of money that they could use. So there was a lot of gratitude towards Senator Schumer, but their paths to the leadership were very different.
But the thing I liked about Reid is that when he needed to, he could really explode. He was a tough guy. He could be tough. I don't see that with Chuck Schumer that much.
Well, you know, the very different personalities. You know, their upbringing, their origins, all of these things were very different. Harry Reid once said to us, he said, you know, I hate to say no to people, but I realize that you have to do that every once in a while. And I was talking to people about Senator Schumer, and I said, well, does he also hate to say no and get over it? And they say, well, you know, he hates to say no and very often doesn't say no when he should say no. So that may be one of the differences that sets them apart from one another.
The question I want to go to is the future of the ACA or the Obamacare. You know, it's interesting. Just talk about the electorate for a second. In a major study, people were asked which they liked more, the ACA or the Obamacare.
Right.
Like which, of course, for everybody, we all know that they are the same thing. So
right.
So it turns out that Donald Trump's one of his great utterances, who knew healthcare was so complicated?
Yeah.
He said day one, they would change it and they would repeal and replace. But it ain't happened yet as we speak.
You know, it's interesting, Alan. Repealing laws is something that rarely happens in the United States. We're very good at making laws, and there are a lot of laws on the books that probably deserve to be repealed, but the repealing process is not something you really get much credit for. And repealing something as complicated as the Affordable Care Act, you pay the additional penalty of alienating as many as 20 million people who could suffer if the program is completely dismantled.
Turns out that, you know, there was this Goebbels-like repetition, propaganda repetition, Obamacare, 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 it's terrible, it's terrible, it's terrible. And now it turns out the Republicans are thinking about how to repeal and replace it. People are finding it very popular. It has grown in stature. What does that tell us in terms of
public opinion? Including, Alan, among some Republican governors who agreed to expand Medicaid coverage in their states. And who would suffer a tremendous amount of blowback from the population for whom the Medicaid coverage was stripped. And there was a lot of disagreement within the Republican conference in the House and the Senate about exactly how you do this. It gets very esoteric. It gets into debates between those who want to give refundable tax credits and those who want to give advances to people who had previously been covered by the ACA. And this is not just a kind of an academic exercise. This is a real dollars and cents conflict between important elements of the Republican Party.
I want to go to a different place now, and that's the Supreme Court, Neil Gorsuch. How should the Democrats play this? After all, they were robbed by one. There's no two ways about it. The Constitution was quite clear. The president nominates, and then they say up or down. But they didn't say up or down, and they had a year to do it. Should Democrats say, okay, screw off, President. We're going to do the same thing to you that you did to us?
Well, of course, using the ultimate weapon against Gorsuch would be, of course, the filibuster. And despite the imposition of the nuclear option, the filibuster can be used in the case of the Supreme Court. They won't do it, and they shouldn't do it. And my feeling is that were I a Democratic senator, I would look at Neil Gorsuch and say, we could have done a great deal worse. That he seems to be an extremely intelligent person. He seems to be a person of integrity. His politics are certainly not what many of them would prefer, but he has a record that is creditable, and he has been praised by people who would have very little reason to praise a Donald Trump nominee. So, and the other thing, of course, is that he is merely replacing someone of a very similar ideological position, which is Justice Scalia. So my sense is that the Democrats will vote against him, but they won't filibuster him. He'll be confirmed narrowly, but not even with some Democratic support.
Okay, so that leads us to the question of the next one. There are some very old folks on the Supreme Court, and Trump will get another one. So assuming you're right about replacing one conservative judge with another conservative judge or semi-conservative judge, what should you do on the next one?
Well, that's really tough, and who knows what's going to happen between now and then. As your former governor Mario Cuomo used to say, quoting his mother, between now and then a pope will be born.
He did. That's what he said.
And
he said it to me. So then the question becomes: Do the Democrats are going to have to somehow decide on how to play that one? And I take it you're avoiding the question because there really isn't a very good answer right now.
I guess I've been hanging around politicians too long, not giving you a straight answer. On that one, there's going to be a much bigger battle. And I think that what's going to be different also is the political position that Trump is in at that particular time.
I mean,
if this Russian business metastasizes, no nominee that he puts forth is going to be supported unless he, nominates some liberal Ivy League law professor. But that's not going to happen.
I always love talking to Ross Baker. It's always like a reunion. We were friends back at Rutgers in the old days when I worked there and you worked there. The difference is you're still there and I'm not. And I thank you so much. I thank you, Ross, for being so kind to give us all of this time. It's very, very good.
It's always good to hear your voice, even though it's at a long distance.